Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. John Saxbury, your host here with Bible Now. I want to talk to you today about getting delivered from convictionalist Christianity. This has to be about salvation, about how we get saved. I mean, there is no way possible to get saved without conviction. It's not like, okay, Jesus, here okay, here I am, Jesus. Something has to happen. God has to do something. He has to strike a nerve in your heart to get your attention. It's a conviction. It is a sentence. When a judge convicts you, he is saying beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're guilty. It's a verdict. It's a sentence of a verdict that you're guilty. You're guilty is this. God says you're guilty of sin. But the remission is I've canceled that debt. But through grace by faith you get saved. But it has to come through by conviction. There's never anybody, these preachers nowadays that are out there preaching that there's convictionless salvation is not salvation at all. I'm telling you right now, it's not salvation at all. Salvation has to come through by conviction. We have to be convicted. Listen to our, not, the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. I mean, people that are out there preaching this stuff that, well, all sin is sin, and we all sin, so we can just sin. That's a doctrine of demons. This grace movement out there, it's a doctrine of demons. It's not the gospel. It's not this. It's like my pastor Josh said, and I agree 110%. If it's not in this word, I don't want it. I don't want it at all. I want what this word says. And the Bible says to him that we are to be convicted for what we do. And we have to have that guilt, that blame. So God can turn it around and say, look, I canceled the debt. I sent my son. But I just want you to recognize that you are guilty. Recognition of guilt, if you were to say. Because you've got to be convicted. You've got to be convicted of what you're doing and is wrong. And not just, it's not like you, okay, I don't have any conviction. So what? I mean, there's a lot of preachers that are out there teaching this stuff. And it's just, they're not preaching the gospel. I mean, they must be seriously doing some serious drugs or something. Because this word says to be convicted of your sins. They've had to be convicted in order to be saved. You got to say, okay, Lord, you got to confess it with your mouth. Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. I have offended you. I have broken your laws. I have broken your commandments. I have violated you in every way possible. But I want to come to make this right with you, God. I want to come before you to ask for forgiveness. That's conviction. This convictionless Christianity has got to be swept to the wayside. It's got to be stopped. And you pastors out there that are preaching this garbage, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. You are deceiving God's people. You are splitting hell wide open. I mean, what kind of moron preaches it? Okay, we don't want to. We just don't preach conviction here because we don't want to offend people. Seriously, you don't want to offend people, so you'd rather not preach that they're going to go to hell if they keep doing what they're doing. Oh, it just I know that person's sleeping with their boyfriend. Oh, but we don't want to convict them. We just don't want to offend them. Because we're worried about offending people. I'm going to tell you something, this deal with offense. I've never seen somebody die from getting offended. I've never seen anybody die from getting offended, ever. I'm serious. You cannot die from being offended. The problem is we've replaced with, I'm offended. What you have replaced it Replace the word I'm convicted with I'm offended. Sorry. I was driving the right church, wrong funeral. Replace with I'm convicted with I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended at this. The preacher said that I was doing wrong. My pastor told me I was doing wrong. I wasn't convicted, but I was offended. My pastor told me not to engage in this kind of thing, or he told me not to do such and such. So I'm not convicted. I'm offended. Instead of just apologizing to the pastor and say, "Look, I'm going to change my ways. What? How can we change? How can we make a better way to do things here?" I'm offended because he said that homosexuality is a sin. I'm offended because he said that if I string women up, that I'm going to be offended if he says that it's a sin to string women up. I'm saying this, men and women are both just as guilty on that. I mean, we've got to start preaching this stuff. We've got to preach hell so hot that it makes sinners nervous. Sinners need to be nervous about what they're doing. We need to be preaching hell so hot, homosexuals need to be nervous. No, we're rocking them to sleep instead of waking them up. Because they're asleep at the wheel. We got pastors that are so asleep at the wheel, it's unreal. I mean, you don't preach convictionless Christianity. This grace, well, it's all about grace, and your God's grace is on it. So we got to have, what about Jesus' love? What about Jesus' love? And that's just not spreading Jesus' love if we're convicting. What? It's not Jesus' love if we're not convicting people. We're not letting people know that they're going to go to hell if they keep going on the path that they're on. We've got to understand what salvation really is. When we get saved, that means we are convicted. I was convicted that I was a drunk. I was a drunk. I was an alcoholic. I offended God with my actions as an alcoholic. I offended God with my actions when I walked away from ministry and got involved in stuff that I shouldn't have gotten involved with and walked away from my ministry. I offended God. I'll be the first to tell you, I offended God. But my convictions is what drew me back home. We've got to quit ignoring our quenching out our convictions. The Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit, for it is the light that draws conviction. The Bible also says, the Holy Spirit is who draws conviction in our hearts. These pastors are teaching people to quench it out. Oh, don't worry, just don't get offended. Don't worry about it. We all sin. All sin is sin. And everybody sins. Are you kidding me? What kind of crack are you on? What kind of drugs you doing? I mean, seriously, this has gotten out of hand. I mean, we've gotten, this thing has just gotten too far. We cannot preach convictionless Christianity any longer. I offended God. So in turn, my sentence was, if I wasn't going to repent, I was heading straight for hell. If we are offending God, we are sentenced to hell. If we do not repent, we do not turn from that ways. I mean, people have taken this grace thing. Your grace is the equipment to make you not want to sin. Not want to sin. Grace is for unbelievers. It's the second chance God gives unbelievers. It's not the license he gives Christians to keep doing what they're doing. I mean, it's not the license to keep Christians They'll keep going and splitting hell wide open and making other people believe, oh, it's okay if you, we all sin, we all have hang-ups and flaws. No, we do not need to be, I mean, let's get into the Word of God, will we? Can we? I need to prove this through the Word of God. This is the foundation of all truth. But everybody says this, the Word of God is the foundation of all truth. I'm going to start in John chapter 3. I was going to start in 19, but I'm going to start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn it, but in order for the world that might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but who does not believe in him is condemned already, because they've already, that's conviction going on in him. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, that people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. That exposure is your conviction. It's like an exposed nerve. Hey, ow, that hurts. That's conviction. That's conviction for you. But whosoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clear and seen of his works have been carried out in God. I mean, it's basically that's it's conviction. It's like something rises up in you saying, you know, that's wrong. You're screwing up. Don't be doing that. You know you're not supposed to be doing that, but you're doing it anyway. You know, it's like asking, I mean, it, this whole new generation, these pastors that are preaching this stuff need to be ashamed of themselves. I mean, they need to royally be ashamed of who they are, what they're doing. They call themselves pastors when they're teaching people that it's okay to split hell wide open. They need to make use of their own altar, because they need to make good use of their salvation, because they're really not saved themselves. They're just trying to quench the conviction out in their own life by telling other people what did not follow their convictions, not listen to the Holy Spirit. And they're leading a whole generation straight to the pits of hell. I mean, this is serious business. God's not in the business for your games, preacher. You know, you want to play games, go do something else. But not with the sheep, hungry sheep of God. Not with the flock of God. God entrusts you with a flock. You don't teach them. Teach them to ignore their convictions. You teach them to follow their convictions. And to be convicted by that. And to be transformed by their convictions. Transformed into righteousness. Your convictions are there for a reason. To help edify. I mean, it's to help edify the thing in you. The Bible says, "Not quench not the Holy Spirit." I mean, people are quenching out the Holy Spirit. They don't want to preach on conviction because they don't want to offend people. Who cares? Boo hoo hoo hoo. They get offended. People are probably getting offended at this message I'm preaching right now, but it's the truth. We've gotten away from preaching on conviction. This convictionless preaching that's out there has got to stop and got to go. We're putting people to sleep instead of awakening them. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. And this here opens it up very clearly in this verse of scripture here, this passage of scripture. This passage of scripture here. It's going on to say this here, and it says in verse 9, as it is, I rejoice not because you grieved, You were grieved. The grievances is our grievances. That's the conviction. It's like a grieving inside you. Like you, like something makes you cringe inside. Because you as it is, I rejoice, but not because you were grieved. But you were grieved into repenting. Grieved into repenting. Yeah, just say that with me. Because you were grieved into repenting. Because you were grieved into repenting. That is conviction at its best. That is the best analogy of conviction that Paul could have ever given. Right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. But you were because you were grieved into repenting, for you felt godly grief, so that you suffer no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. That whereas worldly grief and the grief, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnest, the Bible, and it simply says that, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's not, we do not, we're not entitled to sin. These churches that are teaching people that they're entitled to sin, they got another thing coming. They're not, you don't want what you're entitled to. You're entitled to go to the devil's hell. I mean, seriously, you are entitled to go to the devil's hell. Not you're not entitled to sin. Entitled to oh, we all sin, so all sinners sin. I'd like to know who came up with that theory, because I'd like to literally choke the person. I mean, it's gotten out of hand in the church. It says, worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, and what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness through us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore, we are confronted besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more that the joy of Titus, because of his spirit, has refreshed by you all. For whatever boast I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But it just as everything we said to you was true, but our boasting before Titus had proven us true. And this affection for you is even greater, that he remembers the obedience of you all. It's about obedience, basically. Its bottom line is about obedience, about obeying the Spirit of God. When he's saying that this is something wrong, you need to not do this. You need to repent of it right away. Repent of it right away and be done with it. But everything we said to you proven true, that his affection for you, the God's affection for you would be even greater as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. The Bible says fear and trembling. This new floaty grace crap doesn't even line up with this. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. I mean, this is basically, that's the rubber meeting the road here. You want salvation, it has to come through conviction. You cannot flush out conviction. This floaty Christianity that's out there, this flighty, floaty Christianity out there, is nothing but a granola bar of churches out there. nuts, fruits, and flakes. I mean, you gotta just get rid of this stuff. This granola bar Christianity. This granola bar theology. It's a bunch of nuts, fruits, and flakes out there preaching that ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't do what he said. Don't listen to when he's telling you you're doing something wrong. Ignore that grief and just be all flighty and floaty and, oh, we're all here because it's by grace. Grace, 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 grace. They don't even know who grace is. Like the gal on Christmas Vacation. Grace died 200 years ago or whatever. Or grace died 20 years ago. That you've got to understand, grace is the blessing that we did not go to hell. Grace is the gift from heaven that we did not go to hell, that even though we were in sin, that God had mercy on us to convict. The grace was the conviction that rose up in us to say, hey, look, we need to change our own. I need to change my life. This is not lining up with God at all. I mean, this convictionless Christianity isn't Christianity at all. It's how cults operate. Seriously, that's how religious cults operate. They teach people to be numb to their convictions. To be numb to conviction. That's how cults operate. That's how the Seventh-day Adventists operate. That's how the Children of God operate. That's how the Mormons operate. That's how the Branch Davidians were operating. That's how Jim Jones was operating. That's how that DET guy, that David E. Taylor, that's how he's operating. I have to ignore my convictions. I get to do whatever I want because I'm anointed. No, you don't. You're not that anointed, son. I mean, we've got preachers out there that's doing all this stuff. And they don't understand they're split, and they don't care that they're split in hell wide open. It's a lot of it's one is because of power. They weren't given as much power as they weren't given that much authority in life, and they never really had a chance to be in a place of a position of leadership. They disqualified themselves for leadership, so they created their own leadership. So they kind of took over and started creating their own theology and started preaching their own ways, their own rules, so they can just sweep it all out. I mean, these churches that are doing this, and there's churches that are just thinking that's how it is. I mean, I watched something on Christian television the other day, flipping through the channels, and I hit TBN, and there's this preacher on there saying, well, we don't preach conviction here because we don't want to convict anybody. We don't want to offend anybody by telling, but I'm thinking, what? How did you get on this network? I mean, these networks, these Christian television networks, they don't know what they're putting on from one person to the next. As long as they're bringing in revenue, hey, who cares as long as we're bringing in the revenue, right? As long as we're bringing in the money. As long as we're bringing in the dough. We're bringing in people, bringing in the payments for your spot. They don't care what you preach. They need to start operating out of conviction. This is not the day and time for it. Time is running out, folks. We're running out of time. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we are running out of time. We're in end time. We have end time events taking place. We've got biblical prophecy taking place right as we speak. I mean, we are this close to Revelation chapter 1. I mean, we are that close. We are 2 minutes from midnight. We're a minute from midnight. The stroke of midnight. We've got to do things right. We've got to change things up. We've got to stop this garbage. We've got to preach a conviction. Preach conviction. Well, I don't want to bring them up to the front to the church. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to embarrass them. So what? It's about sacrifice. It's a Christianity without sacrifice. Then Jesus died in vain then. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying when you're sitting there saying we don't want to offend somebody by preaching on conviction, by allowing people to be convicted. By not allowing people convicting, you're just basically saying this, the heck what Jesus did on the cross. as long as I get to do what I want. Brings me back to a certain person that took away somebody's conviction back in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, when he said, did God not say to eat of that tree? Basically, he was taking Eve and telling Adam and Eve to ignore their convictions and just go ahead and do it anyway, and they ignored it, and this is the price we pay. There was a penalty that had to be applied. They had to suffer the sting of death. The cool of God, they couldn't walk in the cool of day with God, in the presence of God. They wound up having to suffer for their consequence. They had to suffer the consequences for their actions. That's a word we don't preach in church anymore. Consequences. It's gotten out of hand. We've got to change things up. I mean, preach the right gospel or don't preach at all. I'm serious. Either preach the right gospel on salvation or don't preach at all. Plain and simple. Step down, let somebody else who's qualified to handle the job. I'm dead serious. There's people going to the devil's hell because of the stuff you're preaching to them. It's pure garbage. And it does not float. It does not hold water. You're driving around in a paper ship, and that thing's filling up full of water, and it's going down, and it's breaking apart. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. We've got to change things up. You got to get delivered from. How am I going to get delivered for it? Easily, repent. It's called preach. It's called repent. 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 Feel guilty about what you're doing. Apologize to the Lord for what you're preaching to the people. Repent to your congregation. And then repent to yourself. Make things right. Start preaching the right gospel. Start getting into the Word and reading what the Word actually says. A lot of preachers don't even know this Word. They're preaching a bunch of ideologies from pop psychologists. Rip up all that garbage. Throw it all away. Get into this Word. Get into this Word. Read it from Genesis to Revelation. And get a knowledge of what the Word of God says. And you'll see God change your ministry. You'll see God change your life. You'll see God change your family. God change everything around you. Because you're obedient and you're listening to the convictions of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you this right now. There's people watching this broadcast and listening to this, listening by way of podcast and internet radio. You're living a life you've been living a life without convictions. You've been living without a life, not convicted of your conviction, with no conviction in your actions. No. You become numb to the things of God. It's time to come back to the knowledge, salvation, knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's time to repent. It's time to make things right with God. It's time to fall on your face before God and ask for forgiveness for deceiving God's people and stirring them up with false teachings. Amen. Everybody, bow your head with me. Pray. Dear Father God, I come to you to be convicted of my sins. Father God, I did these crimes against you. I've hurt you. I've offended you. I've turned away from you. I've been preaching my own thing, doing what I want to do versus what you want to do. Today I want to come and ask for forgiveness and repent and turn from my wicked ways so you can heal this land. Father God, I think you said in your word that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face and pray and turn from their evil ways, and repent. And then I shall hear from heaven, that you shall hear from heaven, and that you shall heal this land. Father God, I've done things that's not right. I've preached things that's not good. I've led people into hell. I've deceived people into believe that I was anointed by preaching, not preaching on conviction. Father God, I want to come back to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Dear Father God, I thank you, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus Christ from the grave, that I shall be saved. This day forward, I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. Holy Spirit, fill me, use me, and let me never be the same again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, if you said that prayer with me, I want you to email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. Go ahead and email me. It's revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. It's revivalist. It's my initials, jfs3@gmail.com. I'd like to pray for you, and I'd like to send you something. I got a little gift I'll send you. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you. I want to go ahead and close this broadcast. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, or to receive prayer, contact me at 636-368-6490. Thank you, and God bless you, and have a great week in the Lord.